Welcome to the Business of Sustainability podcast from Future Plus, where smart businesses turn sustainability challenges into a competitive advantage. I'm Alex Smith, bringing you real stories from leaders who transformed ESG pressures into opportunities for growth, innovation, and a stronger market position. Let's dive in. I'd love to welcome you to the studio today to talk about Cyroskin and everything that you've been doing over a little while, over the last few years. What would be amazing is if you can just start with who you are, your background, and what it is that you're doing at the moment.
So my name is Sarah Khan. People will know me probably because they've seen me on the telly. So I was the very first contestant on The Apprentice back in 2005, got to the final, spent 20 years in the media doing incredible programs like Loose Women and worked with Martin Lewis, etc. And then I started my own business. In fact, I had a little business just running around skincare whilst I was doing the media. And then I've got two children and they were growing up and I just thought I need to own my life and I need to really focus on what I'm passionate about. So I am now full-time MD of my skincare business called Cyroskin.
Amazing. And how many lessons have you taken from The Apprentice?
Oh my goodness. Well, to be fair, I think nowadays when you watch it, it's probably how not to do business. But it really played to my strengths because it's all about selling and telling a story and emotionally connecting with people. And I think that's the lesson that I've taken away from that experience, actually. No matter what you do, you are about your story and how you connect with people and how you communicate. And I think that's really powerful.
Yeah, that story selling part is always really important. Yeah. We talk about, as we're going to talk about today, about sustainability a lot. And we talk about data. And the data is vitally important. But that storytelling and narrative around it is that only piece, I think, that gives people connection.
That's right.
And makes people really understand what you're trying to say. And so it's a conversation that we have constantly with people about. It doesn't matter how sort of pragmatic or technological or data-led the conversation is, it's always got to have that sort of underlying storytelling so that people can resonate with
it. It's got to land with people. The data is great. That's your factual evidence. But how do you turn that data into something that people emotionally connect with and then care about enough to take action? And I think that is fundamental.
Yeah, amazing. And so can you tell us a little bit more about Cyroskin?
Yes.
How long have you been going? Sort of what is it that you're bringing to the market?
Yeah, so I mean, we have been going for... I started a business, it was a baby skincare business, back in 2006. So I think Cyroskin kind of came after that. It was kind of a natural morph into more sort of adult skincare business. So it's about since 2016, but very part-time then. It's only the last 3 years that I've really focused on becoming a full-time MD of the business. It is certified organic skincare. And that word certified organic is fundamental. It's our value. It's what we base everything that we do on. The whole premise of my skincare business is about being born good. And I use that phrase born good because you have to have a value by which you make all decisions. And for us, sustainability, certified organic, is our core value. So if I want to employ somebody, those values are in my questioning. If I want to work with a supplier, those questions are in my decision to whether I want to work with that supplier or not. So my skincare business is certified organic skincare. And that's what we are. You know, everybody knows what skincare is. It comes from a place of personal experience, but it also comes from heritage. So my family are from the Himalayas. They came over into this country in the 1960s. But the connection between human and land was very, very prominent in my upbringing. My father used to talk about the jungles, the environment. I've been to Kashmir. If you don't look after your land, literally in that environment, you will die. So I go back to Kashmir and I see jungles. You cannot cut a tree down without permission. And if you cut it down, it has to be replaced. It's accountability. And I see that fragile relationship between human and planet and environment so openly there. It's a very remote part of the world. It's very vulnerable. You've got a lot of snow. You've got a lot of heat. And the trees and the environment is their safety. And that's why I think when you come from that kind of heritage and those lessons and wisdoms are passed down, at some point in your life, your DNA just comes into action. So when I started my business, it was about, we have to start from this value of human and planet and connection.
That's really interesting, because I think we find a lot of people, the bit that they struggle with is, why are we doing this? Mm. So we're doing this, we're doing a thing, this is what sustainability is to us. And you go, oh, why are you doing that particular thing? And they often struggle to answer it. I think it's really, would you give any advice to other sort of businesses when they're starting about how to get that connection of really embedding in? Because we frequently talk to businesses, if you're going to do something, understand why you're doing it. But also then embed it into your decision making, exactly as you were saying. So you wouldn't make a decision without thinking about the financial or the operational considerations. So if you have that as one of your values, as one of your decision making pillars, what impact is this going to have across the sustainability spectrum, socially, economically, you know, with the climate, environment? Mm-hmm. It makes it, as I think you've sort of expressed just there, just part of what you do, not this add-on, not an addition.
It's not about retrospectively fitting something into your business because the climate around you all of a sudden is about people caring about the environment. It has to come from within. I am passionate about putting the right products on my customers, but I'm also passionate about where it came from, because you know, you have to have the passion. And I think, you know, I've traveled around the world and so it's not hard for me to talk about this stuff. I've traveled to developing countries. I've also seen how our actions in the West affect very vulnerable communities abroad. I care about that. This isn't just about, you know, oh, it's really trendy to be sustainable. You know, let's market a product and, you know, let's get the profits. This is about morals and profits going hand in hand. And I think what I would say to any business is, whoever is leading the business, they have to be connected to their values. And my values really come from my upbringing, my parents, but also I've formed them, you know, because I've met a lot of people around the world. I've seen also, and I think this is really important, I've worked in very many corporations where I have seen waste, I have seen poor decision making, and I have seen people being driven by profit only. And that makes for a very unhappy place. And it's a very sharp kind of, you know, rise in money and profits, but there's always a crash, there's always dissatisfaction, and they're always trying to find the next thing. And when you're doing that, you see a lot of waste. It's not about buying loads, it's about stopping and being resourceful and respectful and using that money in a really productive way.
Yeah, we always go back to sustainability in its most sort of classic sense is about reducing inefficiencies.
That's right.
So it's, you know, we talk about it as resilience, as risk management, that you're you're putting into a business to make better decisions so that you can get to those points. But one of the questions I suppose for you is you know, all businesses have to make money. They do have to be profitable. What are the challenges you found, or have you found any challenges with, and or had to have any compromises around that as you've sort of built what needs to be a profitable business with also the values that sit around for sustainability?
I think, you know, it's a cost thing. So it's about being, you know, profitable, and also trying to get things at a good price. But when you're in the sustainability market and you really care, that comes at a premium. So you have to make a decision then, how much of your profit to a certain extent are you willing to sacrifice to make sure that you stay aligned to your values of sustainability? And I think it's a bit of a no-brainer. You know, if you are going to go down that route of making money, I personally believe it has to be good quality, it has to be transparent, and you have to be held accountable. So then really long term, it's just who you are, you know. The benefit of paying, or you know, paying a premium for the sustainability, just paying for sort of sustainability products, services, etc. The long-term effects is the freedom to talk about it, the freedom to say, come and analyze my business, look at my ingredients, go and check out where my suppliers are. The freedom to be able to say that as a business owner is so powerful, because there's not many people that can. And I think I'm not exactly or trying to retrospectively fit something into your business and to say, oh, look, I'm sustainable or I'm green. There is so much greenwashing that is going on in my industry. And I see it when I go into Superdrug, when I go into Boots, when I go into whatever, the high street, I will just pick up a product and it will look green and it will sound green and it uses all the natural and, you know, pick out those natural ingredients. And then you look at the back and it's got mineral oil in it, you know. And for me, mineral oil is not sustainable because it's a fossil fuel, and fossil fuels contribute to our greenhouse gases. And guess what? Greenhouse gases are part of our climate change crisis. So I think, and you know what? The thing is, people go, I don't believe it. Some people say, I don't believe in climate change. I just don't think there is. It's like, well, even if you don't believe it, you have to admit that a reliance on fossil fuels is not sustainable long term. So you have to find an alternative.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, there's always that joke that goes around on the internet every so often, that what are the bad sides of acting sustainability? A cleaner environment, happier people, cleaner seas.
Less landfills.
Less landfills, you know, and more efficient.
More respect for nature.
And still profitable businesses.
Exactly.
So it's certainly a conversation that we have with a lot of sort of B2B businesses around, you know, how sustainability is an incredibly important part for them to be able to have those conversations with the people that they're working with. But I imagine it's very much, you know, even more so and amplified with someone who's B2C.
Do you
get feedback from customers around loyalty, or do you see any of those sort of trending because of that ability to talk about it?
Listen, my business is growing because we are sustainable. Right now, when you are looking at, you know, let's just take skincare, people want to know what's in my food, what's in my hair care products, what's in my skincare products, because there is a rise of allergic reactions. There is a rise of things not being quite right. It's how I started. You know, I have got a rare skin condition that makes my skin very dry. So I did what everybody was telling me, go and find a moisturising cream. Well, if it's got the word moisturising cream on it, why isn't it moisturising my skin? And that's where I took action into my own hands and started looking at ingredients, starting to analyse, and actually being quite horrified. And now you've got apps for the consumer. And I know so many people, they go, Syrah, thanks to you, I now use the microplastic app and I'm horrified at what I'm finding. I now use the Yucca app and I can't believe what's in this stuff. So there is a massive rise of awareness, and my business has grown from two products. I think we've got 12 products now. I've got no investment. We're not in any single shop. We don't do any advertising. We've only just started a little bit on social media. So the last sort of 4 years, my business we're just about to hit £1 million turnover in just 3 years with no advertising. And that is because my consumers are so loyal. And what they love about it is the transparency of which I talk about my ingredients. And that to me says it all. I can't say any more than that.
No, I think it's really true. I think people are sort of craving a lot of that transparency and that openness from a lot of different places within business. Yeah. But, you know, specifically things you're putting onto your skin and the beauty, it's a really, you know, I find it quite a chaotic, quite terrifying industry at the best of times, beauty and skincare. And there is so much sort of information.
Smokes and mirrors and greenwashing. And there's a lot of experts. You've got formulators, you've got regulators, you've got influencers, you've got founders, you've got toxicologists, can never say that word. You've got dermatologists, you've got GPs, all saying the different things. But what's really important in this conversation is that a lot of the experts are not providing you products with any due diligence to the environment. And I think that is where we've got to change. I want to see a dermatologist and I want them to say, I'm providing you with this cream and it contains no petrochemicals in it because I actually care about the environment. And we're not at that stage yet, but that is the next revolution that's going to happen. Look, there are certain things that we have to just say that you're going to have to, use. I don't want to say the word, but, you're going to have to try for science, for long-term cancer, for, all the drugs that where appropriate. But if you're putting a cream on your face to clean it every single day, you do not need, that stuff should just be clean, nice plant-based stuff. And that is something people are consuming every day. If we can just reduce the reliance of, things that do not biodegrade, are not in plastic, don't contain petrochemicals, that'll make a big difference.
Or at least have the opportunity to make the decision around it.
There and
you
the
go. Communication.
Yeah.
And part of what you're doing at the moment, I think you've got a petition running around microplastics.
Well, it's a petition to say to people, if you are in this space of selling a skincare product to a consumer, you need, as an influencer, to know what is in the product. You cannot just take money from a corporation and say, hey, guys, here's a product. I've been paid 20 grand. I have no idea what's in it, but it smells nice and it feels nice. And I'm just selling it to you because I've been paid. I understand the person needs to have a job. But if you're doing a job, you need to be responsible, especially if you're passing on advice to an end consumer. So my petition is about saying to people, if you are working in the field of social media and you are being paid by somebody to sell a product that somebody physically puts on their skin, you have a duty and a responsibility to know what's in it, because that end consumer may really care about the environment and they may not want microplastics in their skincare, but you've sold that unknowingly to somebody who just took your advice.
Manage what matters with Future Plus. Future Plus helps businesses of all sizes understand, measure, evidence, improve, and report on their sustainability impact and goals. Whether you're aiming to communicate your sustainability efforts, managing a supply chain, attempting to secure investment, or preparing tenders, understanding your sustainability and ESG performance and objectives has never been more important. Future Plus is the only platform that provides a complete sustainability and ESG solutions ecosystem, allowing businesses to manage and report their actions in an accessible, affordable, and achievable way. Our platform provides actionable insights and data, which helps you transform your sustainability ambitions into a practical strategy. We provide ongoing assistance, expert advice, and resources to support you on your journey and ensure you effectively achieve your goals. Book a discovery call with a sustainability expert today at future-plus.co.uk.
And for those who don't know, can you explain a little bit about why microplastics are in beauty products and skin products? Because I think a lot of people may not be aware.
Yeah.
That is
so microplastics are classified as tiny particles of plastic that cannot be cannot be filtrated by our filtration system. So I think it's under.
I think it's 5 mil.
5 mil. If it's less than 5 mil. So. I mean, they're in everything, okay? They're in absolutely everything. They're in your nylon leggings, they're in your bra tops, they're in your deodorants, they're in your gym kit, they're in your skincare, they're on the sofas that we're sitting, water bottles everywhere. So it's a big problem. And we're only just learning that actually when these microplastics, let's say it is contained in your washing foam wash at home, when that foam wash trickles down the drain, and you imagine how many millions of people are using foaming agents, goes down the drain, it doesn't get filtrated, and therefore it then harms aquatic life because there's a build-up over so many years. And also, if it's not filtrated, it will go through to your waterways, and then we end up drinking it. And there are now studies being shown that microplastics are found in the umbilical cord. And the problem with microplastics are they are endocrine disruptors. So this is a vicious circle and somebody's got to stop it. And that is the consumer. So this is why the education is so important. So, and microplastics, as I said, they're hidden as well. So when somebody says, there's an ingredient called cross-polymer in your skincare product, well, cross-polymer can be classified as a microplastic. And that is in a lot of products.
But the language is not as approachable. You wouldn't know. You don't know that you're using it.
So what I do on my Instagram page is I say, hey, guys, just to let you know, look at these ingredients and this is what they're broken down to. And I show people what is not biodegradable, what is classified as a microplastic, but also show that, you know, it's swimming amongst natural oils as well. You know, and they're used, they can be, microplastics can be used in preservative systems, in thickeners, in perfumes, camouflaged as parfum fragrance, and it's in everything. So the consumer has to be careful. And people... The industry argument for using them is, oh, they're in such small quantities. Well, and so it won't harm you. The thing is, if you're using a microplastic-based ingredient from the age of 10 years old and you consistently use that until you're about 50, that is not just small amounts. That is daily use twice a day for so many years. That's going to have an effect on your skin. It's going to have an effect on your health overall. And it's going to have a massive effect on the environment.
Yeah. I think we were discussing before we came in today, we both quite like going in the water.
Yes.
I lived on the coast and like to go swimming. River dip.
Yeah.
And I was reading a report the other day. There's chalk streams in Hampshire. And they're now detecting quite significant levels of microplastics. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not all from skincare, you know, but it's some of it is from the rubber from tyres. From, as you say, from washing machines and people putting sort of polyester and nylon clothing in the washing machines and that running out. But it's that, I think, again, that education piece and that acknowledgement of if you're doing a thing and you don't know about it, you can't change what you're doing.
That's
so it's about
right.
communication, about transparency. Yeah. I think, let me make the decision about whether I'm comfortable doing that or not. And the only way I can make that decision is if you inform me.
Yeah. And I think that the what I see as a business owner selling a physical product that is based all around sustainability and organic ingredients is that when you inform the customer without making them scared or fearful, actually, I think that's really important. This isn't a scaremongering exercise. This is just about education and facts. This is the science behind it. When you tell them that and it lands, people take action. And that is what we want. You know what? The politicians and the lobbyists and stuff, it's going to take a long time for them to change. But in the meantime, the reason we are getting so many now sustainable alternatives to something that was just standard is because the public are saying, I don't want to use that. I'm not buying that because I've just been told about this and I care. I'll give you an example. I got a new phone. What I would normally do is go straight onto Amazon and buy a really nice coloured phone. I didn't do that this time. I actually went on and searched sustainable plant-based phone. And it was, I can't remember the name of the brand. I think it's Pella, P-E-L-A. And they make...
Oh, yeah, have you heard? Covers.
Phone
yeah,
covers.
Yeah, yeah.
And they make starch-based, I think, covers. And I love the story and I bought it. It's fantastic. I love it. And it makes me proud. And it's little decisions like that that people can take that make you feel that you're doing your part, you know, and that you're contributing, but also that there's alternatives as make and you're contributing to a better world.
Yeah, and again, it's about brands having that, you know, allowing people to make decisions by having that conversation and saying, look, there is alternatives, there is something else that we can do.
Yes.
And it's that to and fro, I think, between the consumer.
When I bought the phone case, It was quite a lot more expensive than what I would get on Amazon. So this is where the consumer has to make that decision. Cost versus practicality versus budgets versus whatever. So it's never about making people feel guilty. It's about saying, look, guys, there is an alternative there. And I had to sacrifice a little bit, you know, forego my coffee for the week to get my case that I want. And I think there is a certain time where it lands with people and they can make those decisions a lot earlier. But I think it's always about being conscious. And if you can't do it, don't feel bad, but do what you can. That's my message.
Yeah, I think we take that into businesses as well. Yeah. So when we're talking to businesses about what is it that you can do and what you can't do, not everybody has to be doing the same things. But if you have an idea of what you can do and what's impactful and what aligns with your values as an organization and what will help you be profitable and more efficient and all of those things, make the decisions that you can make at any particular, you know, at that particular time, gain as much information and knowledge about that and go down that pathway so that you're not sort of siloed into different things. And then there will be opportunities where it has the opposite effect. You know, because people are willing to spend a little bit of money because they want clean hair, it means that your business has the opportunity to grow. If somebody, you know, if somebody may invest in, you know, renewable energy, and over a 5-year period, it reduces their cost as a business. It's that short term, long term kind of conversation of what is sustainability, where am I going with it, and then how can I manage that journey over a roadmap and align with what I'm doing, I think. And I think it sits on both sides.
Yeah, and I think what I love about working with you guys at Future Plus is I feel like the word roadmap is so important. I feel like here's my journey, this is where we're at, and this is where we're going. And that's really clear for me as a business. It's clear for the people that work for my business. And also it helps me to really question and ask the right questions. And I feel like, you know, on this journey we do need our hand-holding because we're not the experts, but we want to align. And I think the roadmap, and it's even works on a very personal level. It's like, you know, I haven't got the money right now, but if I did have the money, I'd go for that because I'm aware. Or you know, and it's also filtering down,
plan into it.
But also, like, for me, I'm making a big deal in front of my kids that I bought this is a plant-based and the kids were like, oh god, it looks really nice to them, you know. And I know that will land at some point because my kids buy vintage clothes. They don't buy clothes from a normal shop. Even when I buy their Christmas presents, I will make sure that something is most of it's vintage, and they love it, you know. So it's if you can build those behaviors in really early, it becomes your norm. And why would you have good habits as your norm? It's you're contributing to a better quality world.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose on roadmaps, what is the future for Cyrus Skin? Where is it you see the business going? Are there any challenges that you see around, well, just being a business, but also around sustainability for where you are now and where you want to be in the future?
Right now, we are in a state of growth. And when you're in a state of growth, the biggest challenge is cost. And we are, as I said, premium, sustainable, and we're never going to compromise on that. But I think where we're at is at some stage we'll look for investment. Now, what I really love about what we do with you guys is we know the right questions to ask of any potential investor. And I would never have thought about that before, you know, because for most people, sustainability is my packaging is recyclable, I'm certified organic, I'm vegan, cruelty free, that's me done.
Yeah.
And we're like, no, for us, this goes to the core of if somebody in the future decides to invest in our business or buy the business, they are buying something that is in the DNA, and there is a process of asking these questions based on sustainability first. So, you know, we don't have an investor, and that is really, really good right now because with your partnership, we now know how to approach that. We know what to look for. We know the right questions. We've just taken on, for example, right now, a printer. And the first question, now I've got other members of my team, their work, some members are fractional. Yeah. And, you know, I was in a meeting with them and the fractional guys were asking all the relevant questions. And the last question, they thought they'd finished, these print guys. And I went, excuse me, hold on. Can you just tell me what your sustainability credentials are? And this print, the printer guy, he was like, oh my God, we've got them longer than our arm. They use this seaweed ink. They're the only people in Europe that use them. Their boxes are from the Forestry Commission. They take great pains. And I was like, yeah, we'll take you on. That's all I need to know.
And that's the argument, right? You've bought from them because it aligns with your values. They've been able to communicate what it is that they're doing to you. It follows that ecosystem and that supply chain. And it's amazing how those building blocks.
The decision making process was really helpful because of that question. But also, guess what? They were really cost effective. And on top of that, I now, when I've got my lovely gift boxes, say to the customer, fully recyclable, and here are all the credentials. And I know they're going to love it because a consumer doesn't want to feel bad about buying something. And I know that, you know, in the beauty industry, they think sustainability is just about recyclable boxing and recyclable packaging. It's like, well, yeah, that's part of it, but let's talk about the formulations. They're not there yet, but you know, this is just an extra for us to say, you know, we're organic, certified natural, certified organic, vegan, all that. But guess what? Even our suppliers of our boxes follow our passion for sustainability. So it would be weird if all of a sudden we brought out a box that had a laminate on it and stuff. Our customers would literally pick us up on it and go, "What are you doing?" You know, and our customer base is very loyal. And what keeps them together is this passion around, you know, kind to your skin, kind to the planet.
Yeah, it keeps you accountable.
They keep us on our toes. Absolutely. Yeah.
With everything that you've learned, what advice would you give to businesses that are either in that sort of pre-growth stage or just getting off their feet? What is it that they should do in order to do what you have done, which is grow a profitable business with values?
Yeah. I would say that make sustainability a real core focus, and that it goes in, you know, hand in hand with, you know, sales and marketing and recruitment, etc. That this is a silo that sits alongside everything else. But I would say that what you need to do is be held accountable and evidence your sustainability practices, from hiring people, from, you know, your HR manual to, I mean, you know, if you're a small business, you won't go into such great detail, but you still need to evidence. And this is where, and I'm not going to blow smoke up, you know, your whatever, but this is where sustainability, you know, Future Plus becomes really important, because you help us to set goals, you help us to evidence, you are the third party audit on our practices, and that keeps us in line. And also it's just nice to evaluate, because at the end of the day, if you are going to go out there and talk about sustainability as a fundamental value, you are going to have to prove it. So you have to evidence and work with the experts who know how to help you do that, and make sure the evidence is something that is trustworthy, you know. And I think that's really important, is to build it right in from the beginning. You know, I've got somebody called Laura who, in our business, she is responsible for keeping us accountable on what we have promised that we are going to do in terms of our sustainability. Now, we've got a lot of things to do, and we are, you know, the people that I work with, we all work remotely. To get that communication is difficult, but you know, you've got to have one person that takes charge and helps to distribute that message evenly, because they're in control, and it's their responsibility to make sure that what we say we're going to do, we actually do, and it's evidenced and recorded.
I think that structure can be really important.
That's
the word. To, you know, having that structure. And, you know, we talk about lots of things that we do, and it's very kind of you to say lovely things about us, and you're very welcome to continue for, but, you know, what we talk about on sort of like the slightly less sexy side, I suppose, of sustainability, if you can have a less sexy side, is it's around data maturity and evidencing what you're saying. Yes. And I have the belief, fairly confident, that a lot of greenwashing isn't necessarily bad actors who want to lie. There is definitely those people out there. But a lot of people are like sort of marketing departments that really want to say good things.
Yes.
And they take the grain of truth.
Yes.
And then they expand on it. And the language around it becomes slightly more colourful or amplified. Again, then there's no data to back it up. There's nothing to say, right, we are doing this and this is how we can evidence and what that looks like. And I think that's sort of the underlying current that we really encourage businesses to do.
Yeah.
It's, you know, if you're doing it, what are you doing? How do you evidence it? And then how can you then use that to also show what the impact is that you're having in the future?
Yeah, and it protects you, because it protects you from making misleading claims. And that is the one thing that a business cannot do, because if you're making misleading claims, you're giving the wrong advice to your customer. And if And they will find out, and then they just won't trust you ever again. And the biggest thing that helps a business grow is trust.
Or even internally as well, that internal trust. Like you were saying, having a team that are remote, as that team grows, having, you know, like you say, HR manuals, employee handbooks, how you're treating people. Yeah. You know, we've just gone through, we've had in the last few months, we've had the first Future Plus baby.
Yeah.
You know, so our maternity policy kicked in, and, you know, we hold ourselves very accountable.
Yeah.
But we're also a business that is growing and going through a growth stage. And all of these things that we did in advance, there's nothing honestly better than we've already done this. So we've got a plan.
Yes.
It's one of the best feelings as a founder.
Yeah.
Not the, oh God, here we go again. I'm going to have to try and write something and figure out what I'm going to do. The confidence, I think, in your business as a founder, or, you know, with when you've got a growing team, of saying, actually, we've got this.
Yeah.
We know what we're doing now. We're confident with what it is, and we know where we're going to go in the future.
And I think for us, you know, for us, it just helps us when we are confused about something to go, oh, what should we be doing? Or, you know, or phone up somebody and say, guys, we're just about to make this massive decision. We're not quite sure, because we've never worked in this sector before. What are the questions we should be asking to make sure that we're aligned to our sustainability goals? You know, I wouldn't know sometimes what questions you need to be asking. And so when you're working with somebody who owns it, is the expert, is that third party, you know, validation, they can help you out.
You know your sector and your industry so well, and you know it inside out, and you're confident what you're doing. I often feel we're the other side. We have these conversations with people a lot, with clients a lot. I saw someone present from a major airline the other day, and they were talking about cutlery on board and plastic cutlery, and they're changing to bamboo cutlery, and that was great. My mind's going, oh, I wonder what the environmental issue is around that, and whether, you know, how do they deal with the deforestation around bamboo? Now, it's just having, you know, that may or may not be even an issue for this particular thing, but it's that, it's joining the dots in
an industry
that you know, or a sector you know, and saying, have you thought about this? And I think having that sort of, you know, that's why we have advisors, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
So tech is brilliant. It's absolutely amazing. But having a human to speak to at the end of the day and say, we're not sure about this, what would you recommend? We know we benefit from it in things that we don't know about. And so if we can do that to customers when you're trying to make a decision and say, have you thought about?
That's right.
It just makes it easier.
It makes it easier. And also, you know, I'll give you an example of what businesses will go through. At some stage, a business that is growing will need investment. That is a minefield. I have never, ever had to draw up a investor plan or whatever, you know. And so I will be speaking to somebody going, right, guys, how do we filter out or seek the right people to invest in my business? Because I want to make sure that it's aligned to my values that my business stands for. So where do I start looking? Because I haven't got a clue, you know, and I don't want to be that business that we go, oh, right, we've just invested with this person, blah, blah, blah. Somebody does a research and they go, do you know that they've got a massive company that cuts down forests in the Amazon? Oh my God, I didn't do my due diligence. All of a sudden your trust is lost. And the consumer now is savvy. They will, the people that invest in my business, they are savvy because they are. And they will be looking at, they go to Companies House, investment, you know, who it is. They'll do the research. And I think right now, when the world is actually a little bit chaotic, what does it come down to? It comes down to people going, I'm going to vote with my money. And I'm going to vote with the people that are aligned to my values. And I'm not going to give my money to a company that is going against my values. We're seeing that right now. And that's why I think it is super important for any business when you're starting out to define your values and evidence them.
Yeah, I think it makes it easier with the conversation with investors as well.
Yeah, because, absolutely.
You know, you're
I know
not,
what to ask them now.
Yeah, you know what to ask them. But also, you know, going to them with the conversation and saying, we've done all these things, so we've reduced our risk in the future.
We've
understood what the risk is. We've reduced it because we're doing all of these things. So it just makes the conversation easier. Never know if it will be the thing that makes you get, you know, be invested in or not.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a tough market out there. Someone, you know, investments, someone once told me, a bit like marriages, and you just don't want to have to get divorced at any
stage.
That's
right. That's right. It's very costly.
You have to.
You've got to choose investors. That's right.
That want to, because you know, that want to continue the values in your business
that's
as
it.
Much as you do.
That's
because
it.
It's, you know, they're going to have a sway in where the business goes at
that's
any point
it.
In time.
That's it.
So on that investment question, what so ambition into the future? Where would you like to go?
Right now we are really enjoying this journey of growing, and you know, when it comes to sustainability, it's a moving beast. You know, it's like you're never ever going to be sustainable in, you know, ever all the time in everything that you're doing. But it's about, you know, claiming every little win that we can do. It's about moving. It's about reassessing. It's about moving into the world of business profitably, but also being very protective of our values, which is sourcing correctly, manufacturing correctly, marketing correctly, and making sure that our consumers are always getting the best of what we can do. And I think the world's our oyster. I mean, look, I have been talking about certified organic for way before it became sexy. And there comes a point, you know, when you're like that lone voice going, I really believe in this. I really believe in it. Everyone's going, nah, 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 nah. That time, for anybody who ever felt that they were before their time talking about the planet, talking about good products and, you know, things that biodegrade and stuff, the time is now. This is the time to celebrate. And it's still a battle, because you're just going, I'm still this voice in this massive field of loads of people who don't care. But actually, look at the world where we are living in. There's been massive strides. I can get a plant-based phone case. You know, that's, and we can laugh about it. 5 years ago, you probably wouldn't be able to get that. Look at the alternatives that are available. The market is changing because the ordinary person believes we are consuming too much and we have got enough that we need. And now let's repurpose. Let's put more energy and effort into sustainable alternatives that's kind to the planet but gives us what we want. I think that is just a common sense approach now. Apparently, I was listening that if we stop manufacturing genes right now around the world, we've still got enough genes to last us for the next 6 generations.
Yes, you know, it's a lot of genes, isn't
you know,
it?
You know, yeah, and I mean, you just go, what have we done that for?
It's an extraordinary amount of...
At what cost? At what? And this is the thing, you know, when I look at my packaging and stuff, you know, we talk about recycling and stuff. We need to improve our recycling rates. We need to improve what we can recycle. And so it's yes, I could put my stuff in recycle, but it still doesn't make me happy that some of it's not going to get recycled, but we're doing what we can. But I think when you say you are sustainable in everything that you do, ultimately it is a respect for your customer. And when a customer feels respected, they will stick with you. And that is how a business will grow. And that is how a business spreads its wings. And I think it's ultimately that the customer that you are working with needs to be respected. And if you actually look at the world we're living in, the consumers are driving the change.
Amazing. I think that's an incredible point to end on. Sorry, and thank you ever so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
If you want to find out more about the petition, you can go to your
Instagram page, which is at I Am Saira Khan. I've pinned it right at the top, and just sign your name to it, because I think it's a really important one. It's about helping the consumer to be sold to correctly, and for people to be held accountable for what they're selling.
Amazing. Thank you ever so much.
Thank you.
If you'd like to find out more about Saira Skin or Future Plus, you can find the links below. Thanks, everyone.